Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crow, and with me on this episode is Misha Kitty.
Hello!
Pinocchio.
Hello.
Dar Kiram.
That's me!
And our special guest on this episode, the Merc's Public Relations Officer himself, Saz.
Yay!
What a shock. What a shock. See, I like introducing guys like, you know, that have like mononyms, and not only are they mononyms, but they're like monosyllabic mononyms. Like myself, it's like, oh, we have, you know, Misha Kitty and guy with long Mando name and guy with funky form handle and Saz.
Yay!
Saz doesn't need anything else.
No, I mean, I'm in the same boat. It's just Crow.
Well, do you know that actually Saz is a shortened version of my old wrestling name?
I did not.
Well, there you go.
What was
my favorite thing
name?
About you, Saz, is that you were a professional wrestler.
Mm. Well, it was your favorite thing about me? I've got quite a few other talents, but
that's true. That accent is pretty good too.
Can I go on the limb here and say I had no idea that Saz was a professional wrestler?
There are photos. It is amazing.
Mm. I had no idea.
Can you give us some backstory on that, Saz? Because I'm clueless.
What do you mean by backstory? As in,
like, tell us your story about wrestling. I didn't even know you had that.
I used to wrestle. There you go. That's the backstory.
Wow.
What happened was I was doing some temp work at a place, and one year one guy said he was going to do some wrestling, and he said, and I said fine, that sounded like good fun, and I came back and did the temp the next year, and he'd come back and he'd like proper beefed and stocked out sort of thing. And I thought, oh, I'll have me some of that, because I needed an excuse to lose weight. And so I just took it up, and I did it for 9 years. And for six of those years, I actually ran a wrestling promotion, hence why I have the ability to organize stuff. So I've had a lot of experience in organizing events and stuff, which is one of the reasons why I was accepted on the council as the PR officer, because they wanted someone to organise his stuff, and that, so there you go. It's nothing much. I used to do backflips and all that malarkey, but
could you do a shooting star press?
Oh, that's easy. That's just you just jumping in the air and going wee.
I'm just picturing it.
I'm trying not to picture it.
No, I am. It's hilarious. It's awesome. You should do that.
Mm. Yeah, when I was a heavyweight, I used to be one of the few people in Britain who was over a certain weight category who could do a moonsault.
Shut up. So secret Misha truth. I am and have long been a professional wrestling fan since I was really little, and yeah, that's really cool. It's really neat.
Mm. Well, you know what they say, if we sort out all things happen the way they are, and you sort out a wrestling ring, I'm perfectly happy to teach you how to wrestle.
I will try to get on that.
Mm.
So this episode, we got one big main focus. Mercs Con is the big thing we're going to be talking about this time, getting everybody all informed and hyped up about that. But first, we're going to do some other bits of Mercs news. First and foremost, last month we talked with Ulrich Cantier, the personnel officer, guy in charge of the app team. They are currently in the middle of their hiatus, sabbatical break thing.
Restructure.
Just, yeah, whatever you guys want to actually call it. So that is ongoing. And during that process, Ulrich is actually going to be doing some live streaming from his Facebook page, like he mentioned on the last podcast. So we will be promoting those. We'll be sharing those on the main Mercs Facebook page. KTR will be sharing those too when he's gearing up to go live and do Q&A with anybody who has any questions on the restructure. I believe his only rule was that during the Q&As or for the Q&As, he wants the all the questions to go through the forum. So just shoot him a PM on the forums, and he'll get to your question that way.
I think it's really fantastic that our council is sort of spreading out to try some different things. Yes, the first one will be September 24th, then October 1st, October 8th, and October 15th. And if you are really interested in asking a question, October 8th is each of the different live streams have a different topic. So on October 8th, there will be an opportunity to ask questions for the personnel officer. And October 15th, he'll be doing a whole walkthrough of the new process. So if you go to either our first Facebook page, the Mandalorian Mercs Facebook page, or if you go to Ulrich Cantier's MMCC Personnel Officers Facebook page, he has the live stream schedule up there as well. And he's doing them, I think Crow may have just said this, but 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So it's a great opportunity to learn more about the club. If you're ever interested in taking on a Rusalor or a Rusol position, this is a great opportunity to kind of get an inside peek on what those guys do. And also just sort of learn a little bit more about our council too.
Well, the other thing is that you got to look at is that we're really realizing now that the club is growing pretty much beyond the way that the club's scope was done back, well, 3 or 4 years ago, and that we're going to have to seriously start looking in at changing not only the way the club does things, but also the attitude within the club as well. Unfortunately, some mugging has been tasked to do that, and currently I'm talking to the I'm talking to the Ori Ramaket at the moment, because I feel that they should have the first say, being the people who are the main representative of the best of the best, so to speak, and let them have a say, and then I'll be moving down to the offices once I've spoken with the Ori Ramaket, and then once past the officers level, I'll be heading down to membership level and just really trying to ask people what they want to know, you know, what they think, this is our goals. How do you think we can achieve this? Ori Ramaket has been really quite positive, to be honest. It's quite heartwarming to see people actually put forward some positive ideas, and changes have already been made. I mean, I know Sean has Thaxos has been changing around the forums to try and make it a little bit easier to read, and make it a bit more friendly. The one thing that I really want to start pushing out at least is that members should get off the whole look it up in the forum sort of chain, where people get aggravated about people asking the same questions over again, and try to, you know, bring it back to, you know, joining any new forum. I know I've joined a few new forums, and I've come up against that brick wall, and it is quite disconcerting, and it is unfriendly, and that's not what the Mercs is about. And so it's generally trying to find ways for us to be able to help people without coming off as
jerks.
Yeah, gruff.
Yeah, and I will say, I think all of us, at least I know those of us here, except, well, okay, maybe Frost. He's not here, I can pick on him. But, you know, I think all of us here that do the podcast, and certainly those of us on the PR team, we really like interacting with the members, and we really like being able to make that connection and help. And I don't necessarily think that there are people that don't. It's just we've always really pushed the forums because we really want people to go there and we really want them to be successful. And a lot of people don't realize, but one of the reasons why we ask people to kind of conduct business on the forums is because the stuff that is on the forums can be tracked. And if there is ever a problem, we are able to pull the forum records. We can see them. So if there are ever any, and you know, we hope this never happens, but if there are ever any problems with maybe somebody is not being as kind as they could, or maybe somebody is just outright being a jerk, we can look at that on the forums. The problem with doing a lot of stuff on Facebook is we can't always track that. People can delete posts. People can delete messages. They may not be friends with someone, so you may not see it. So that's there is a practical reason, if that makes sense, to sort of put to ask people to go to the forums. But unfortunately, saying just check out the forums doesn't convey that desire for people to go there to sort of keep things moving in a positive way. So I think it's great that all the council members, or some of the council members anyway, have recognized this as a need and are making some changes to the way we approach our membership.
Well, what we're trying to do as well is in a way that's interactive with the members as well. I mean, there's I hate to say it, this whole old moniker of the good old boys club. It's, and it never has been true. My door has always been open, and I've answered pretty much many questions, you know, every question that's come my way without any sort of problem at all. And I've directed someone to where they need to go. This isn't about power. It's not about control. It's about us all working together to find a way to make sure that the club runs as smoothly as it possibly can. And obviously with Ulrich, he's obviously recognised there's some problems, and he's spoken to people, and he's making changes based on those discussions that he's had with people, and what he's doing is he's trying to make the best out of the situation. I mean, the first project obviously was the regional commanders having a new Roussel and Versol area, just to give them a little bit more of a wider base to be able to speak to people. And also moving on to strongholds as well, because the squads wasn't really working that well. When we looked at the data, pretty much every single squad was folding before you knew it. And the way that we've done now with the strongholds is to be able to give everybody responsibility rather than just leaving it to one person. Because the other problem I see, or the big problem is that everyone's looking to the Alarad to solve their problems for them, and sometimes the Alarad isn't that well versed, especially a brand new Alarad. And I've always answered questions for Alarads when they came, you know, when they've come to me about it. And I think we've recognised that we need to make sure that Alarads have an easier job to do when it comes to information, so they can point it towards people, because they're the one people who can't say to people, just look it up on the forums. They have to be able to help these people all the way through. So if we can help them help people as well, then that's another bonus in my book anyway. And unfortunately, as was pointed out to me, I not only do the PR outside the forums, but I also do the PR inside the forums as well, so it's one of my responsibilities. So I'm taking it seriously, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to talk to everybody, get the majority opinion, and work within that majority opinion. Obviously, there's obviously going to be people who have a different opinion, but we're here for the majority. So you know, that's the best way that I can do it, and the most fair way I can possibly do it.
One of my jobs until recently, with the addition of my new social media team, they're doing an awesome job. Congrats, guys. You're doing great. One of the most popular questions that the Mandalorian Mercs Facebook page gets is, do you have a website? So a lot of people these days just aren't of the mentality that they can just go look something up, even on Google, as omnipresent as that is. People just don't, they don't think of that first. So they go and say, hey, you seem to know what you're doing. Here's my question. So just give them an answer.
Yeah, don't make it hard for people. And I'll second that too, because some of y'all know what my day job is, but I work doing PR and marketing and education actually for a fairly large organization. And the number of questions we receive on any of our, we have about 7 different Facebook pages, and it's amazing the number of questions we receive either on the Facebook page or via phone or via email, where seriously, if you Google searched it, it would come up. Or if you just looked at our website. And it's, I don't know if it's a transition to people maybe wanting to connect with an actual person, or maybe they just don't want to look it up, or maybe they don't know what to say and search for to look it up. But we're definitely seeing that more and more, and we're growing exponentially, but there's always room for more. So we would really like to see all of our members making that effort to reach out, and if someone has a question, answer them, you know, make it easy for them.
Additionally, if you do tell someone to just look it up or just use the search function on the forums, I hate to say this because these are our forums, they are our flagship information source, but searching an SMF forum like ours using that search function is terrible. So what you're doing is you're just pointing these newcomers who are hungry for information, want to learn, you are sending them to literally the worst part of our website.
It's actually quicker to use Google.
Yeah, and that's just the way the forum software is. That's the way they've always been. You know, this isn't anything new. It's not anything unique to us. But like, so you're literally just throwing them to the wolves.
It sounds like we really just need an FAQ.
We are working on that. That is that's something that is being discussed all over the place in the Oriramacad section as part of Saz's input from us, so that's something he'll also be asking the clan officers and then maybe the general membership when it gets down to it. A slight restructure on that is definitely something needed.
We've been doing this podcast for how many years, and it's pretty much every month we get someone asking, what materials do I make it out of, you know?
Oh yeah, we got another one of those.
Pretty much have all the same questions. So, yeah, I mean, so Frequently asked questions. Let's do that.
Keep answering the questions. It's simple as that.
Yeah. We've been answering them over.
Someone will pick up KTR like maybe this episode, and then maybe go back, but they've still got the same question. And even if it's repeating yourself, you know, it's actually an older marketing thing, is always tell people three things three times. Tell them once, tell them twice, tell them a third time, just in case they weren't listening. And that's, you know, the more you tell people, the more people are going to pick it up, because sometimes people don't pick it up the first time either. And I know our forums are not the modern way of doing things, and Facebook is easier because, you know, you can talk to people pretty much live and so forth. But we're probably heading towards the direction where we're going to have to say that any sort of Merck's business done on Facebook will not really be counted unless it's logged as a PM or logged on the forums, because
it's just not, it's not made for it. Like, anybody who's been in, you know, on Facebook for more than 20 minutes, you are part of like 7 groups and 8 group chats, and like, it's bad.
Yeah, it's you're
very
bombarded,
fragmented and bad.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, with Facebook, I mean, this is not against anybody at all, is that it allows you to be a lot more personal than possibly you should be. Effectively, on the forums, my forum and my Facebook behavior are two separate things, because I treat that as separate, and I know for a fact that the Allure treats them as separate as well, which is why we're very resistant to the whole idea of forcing people to say that, you know, whatever you say on Facebook is going to be also brought under the laws of the club, which is not the case. I mean, the important thing to say is, in this whole point, is that whilst you do have a right to say what you want, there's no right for lack of consequence from what you say. If you have a public page that is basically linked to the Mercs and you start breaking the rules on that one, then you are going to get done, effectively. On your personal page, you pretty much can say what you want, but also within reason, because if you're bullying someone and you're still, you know, you're still doing it, then and someone points it out, then we probably, you know, then the Allure does have the right to do that. That's what the social media caveat is all about. But if you really want to chat with me about it, the PM function is brilliant.
It is. That works wonderfully. To move on to another bit of news, Misha can probably chime in on this one. We are looking for sponsors for Celebration.
Yes, okay. So we are looking for sponsors for Celebration, and there are a number of different sponsorship levels. I've been working really closely with the Mandalore himself. He has done an amazing job very carefully figuring out what would be some different doable levels for sponsorship of different aspects of Celebration. If you have a business or that you own, maybe you run, or if you work for a business that would be interested in sponsoring something at Celebration, or if you just want to open up your personal finances, this is a really great opportunity for high visibility. And I actually can send you a packet that's kind of tells you everything you need to know. It has everything in it, from our organization statistics to the different sponsorship opportunities. And we have certain sponsorship levels where there's only one available. A really excellent example, and this is pretty crazy, but it's a $20,000 exhibit presenting sponsor, and that gives you exclusive presenting rights for our main exhibit area at the event, which is about a $10,000 value. And that also gives you premium recognition on event signage during the event and all these other different things, like marketing here on the podcast and Battlecry, all that good stuff. We go all the way from that down to $100 sponsor, and that will actually get your company name and logo displayed on the website. And if you decide to do the $300 level, that gets you one ticket to the bash and also a display on the website. So there's options from $100 all the way up. You certainly can go, you know, in between, and really every bit that can be donated helped. I had no idea how much money it takes for us to get to Celebration. It wasn't until I started talking to our quartermaster, Corey Snaps, when she started telling me just how much money it takes just for the bash that I really started to understand, you know, holy cow, this is a big deal and it costs a lot. We expend money not just in getting the space, but getting some of these things down here, things like the speeder. You know, I've been to Celebration one time. I did not get to go when it was in Anaheim last year. I was supposed to go, but circumstances prevented me. So my only Celebration experience has been the Orlando one that was previous to that. And we had a really awesome booth. The BBC, Mercs especially, really pulled together and did a great job. But since then, folks have really stepped up. And I mean, last year, or this past summer, the Celebration C2 Europe was incredible. The booth was amazing. And so, you know, down in Florida, we really want to bring it. We want the Mercs booth to be one of the places where people just keep coming back again and again, and they say, man, this is incredible. And there are some fantastic plans for it. Right now, the idea for the layout is for it to be almost like a hangar with vehicles that you walk through, with other spaces built inside of it as well, with other rooms. So one of the things that we're really working on building for the space too are the vehicles themselves. And also there's a sponsorship opportunity to get the trailer for the speeder, and that's another option too. So there's sponsorships for the auction at the bash, there's sponsorship for the t-shirts, there's sponsorship for some of the different exhibits. So I have all of that, and I can make that available, and we would just really, we need the help, we would appreciate the help. We have so many members, we know so many of you have connections, and we really need everybody to kind of help out and step up and say, you know, I know somebody who might be able to chip in, because, you know, the more we get, the more we can really make just an incredible presence here at Celebration.
I think the other thing as well is that not just monetary. I mean, the fact is that any money that goes towards it will be the, you know, be the best, because having run a celebration, having run two celebrations now, I know just how much a little bit of cash goes, how far a little bit of cash goes towards helping out people. I mean, it's ridiculous sometimes how much things go up, and then you don't realise that you've done something, and before you know it, you've spent 500 or 600 quid of your own money towards it. And I know a lot of the people in the UK did that. But what we have to also understand is that there are people there who are doing all the paperwork and doing all the behind the scenes administration to make sure that you have a good time. And the last thing that these people need is any sort of drama or issues coming from members. The one thing that I have really got to point out to the people who are running it this time is that do not underestimate how popular the Mercs have become. To be honest, I cannot remember half of what happened at Celebration London, because so much was happening at the so many times, and I literally had my kit on for an hour on the one day and for 30 minutes for the actual drift. The rest of it was running around sorting out problems, getting stock and moving things around and dealing with people, making sure that they've got their point out. So the one thing, the message that I'm trying to get across to people is that even just spending half an hour to an hour at the booth helping out, and just even just standing there and being part of the scenery is always going to be helpful. It's all, you know, I understand that everybody is very excited about Celebration, but at the same point is that you remember the Mandalorian Mercs, and the Mercs are there to make an impression and to be there as a guest of Lucasfilm. So every single Merc who turns up to that event and actually stands at that booth almost has an obligation to LFL to ensure that the Mercs show the utmost professionalism. I'm not really saying that, you know, you can't do what you want, because obviously you're there for your own reasons. But what I'm saying is that there are people who have put money towards this. There are people who have done so much work behind the scenes. What seems like something that's so easy for you is actually someone tearing their hair out trying to get things sorted. I mean, Celebration London was very last minute with some of the things like that. In the UK we have certain safety laws that we have to follow through and do, and we didn't get our final approval till 5 minutes before I actually arrived at the arena. So it was quite touch and go at that point. But all I'm saying is that, you know, it's all very well turning up and having fun, but you're also there for a reason as well. And the people who are working behind the scenes are there for the reason. And you find that without trying to stack the deck too much, the people who understand that fact generally find themselves are Ramikad members, I suppose, is the best way that I can easily hint.
But, in other words, if you help out, you know, there's usually Orirama doodles awarded with celebration.
That's how I got mine. Just saying.
I got mine for being nice to people.
You did. I did not.
Well, Dar, you were going to say
something.
I'm
not part of the special crowd.
And you never will be.
I don't have that.
No, I'm
like the minority here.
You are, actually.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's all right. I'm okay with that.
And that's the right attitude. Good man.
Yeah. And...
Because it's going to be like that for a very long time.
Wow.
Most likely, yes.
Oh.
Most Dang. Likely.
Dang. Well, so what I was going to say was that, you know, Saz kind of mentioned a few things that folks who've done cons know. There's always, and by done, I don't mean attended. I mean have run a booth. There's always... There are always those folks who go the extra mile to set up the booth, run the booth, make sure everything is okay at the booth, and then tear down the booth. And even before then, get the entire event set up. And after that, deal with whatever may have happened if somebody left something behind or if there are any questions or whatnot. And the thing is Celebration is really... like Saz said, it's really our flagship event. I think in different states, folks have different events that are their biggies. Certainly in Florida, we have MegaCon. Hold on a second, guys. I'm going to go into a different room where there's no bird. Sorry. Certainly in Florida, we have MegaCon. That's sort of our biggie. And I know different places have the different wizard cons put on by them and everything, but Celebration is sort of it for the entire Star Wars universe. And I've heard a couple people say, well, I'm gonna go to Celebration, and yeah, I mean, I'll pop by the booth. And I get it, it's for a lot of people, this is a holiday for them, and that's amazing. But there really are going to be folks who their whole weekend is going to be at that booth. And it's...
Yeah, I pretty much just live there.
It's by choice because they do enjoy it, but it's also out of necessity.
I kind of want to dovetail on that because I am an Alarad, and I've had to be that guy that sets everything up and has to run the booth from Thursday, Friday evening to Sunday, you know, closing, and then pack everything up. I will say a shout out to my people. This is the first year that I've not had to worry about that. So it's nice to have people who can help. And like when I went to Celebration Anaheim, that was a vacation for me, but I chose that I wanted to work there because as an officer of the club, I felt it was my responsibility as well. I'm not putting people on blast saying that, you know, they have to, but this club means a lot to me, and the people that run this club mean even more. And if, you know, I'm doing my part, you know, as an officer representing this club, then working it should, you know, be kind of a go-to thing. And that's how you go above and beyond rather than, oh, I'm just going to do a little bit here. You're actually going above and beyond your role as an officer of this club. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think the other thing is that there's a lot of people who are good natured enough to sign up to doing parts of the things, and then come the day, they're nowhere to be found. And that is the worst part, because you've basically broken a promise. And
yeah, don't be that guy.
Yeah, if you're that guy, I mean, I was very seriously on the point of considering that, because I was fortunate enough to be able to decide who the Ori Ramikad were for CEL. Anybody who basically put their name down for something and didn't show, they're gone. And the worst thing about it is one of them was actually heading for an Ori Ramikad, but then they didn't turn up. So that's that. It's nope. I mean, I'm not using the Ori Ramikad as a stick or a carrot here. What I'm trying to say is that the Ori Ramikad members are the people that will understand the importance of turning up to the booth, being able to put the booth up, being able to put some money in of your own money into things when it doesn't really need, you know, when you don't really need to. It's going beyond the point of doing what is expected of you. It's going beyond that point. For instance, Fraser Rabb on at CEL, he pretty much was the gopher for the whole point. He spoke to people on my behalf because I was too busy. He went out and got the water. He went and did so and so and so and so. Most of it was on his own. It was on his own money as well. And I mean, also Ion, she got the Ori Ramikad because she pretty much painted 48 flags in a amount of a couple of days, and those flags pretty much made the booth effectively. And there are other, you know, there are other members as well who, I mean, like Dominic Talascott, who, as Tom said, you know, I'm quite surprised he hasn't had it yet, but he put in a lot of his time and effort, and as did Paul Rain Vokshi as well, who they all got their Ori Ramikad because they put the time and the effort in, and they went beyond doing what they're asked to do. So what the message is, I suppose, is the best thing is that if you want to be a person who goes off and do your own thing, that's absolutely fine. If you want to be a person who wants to help, that's even better. If you want to go above and beyond, if you actually take the time to understand what the Mercs is about, and to understand what what we call the spirit of the Mercs, and to exemplify those behaviours, that is our Ramikad behaviour. And that's when people start questioning why is this so-and-so person not being an Ori Ramikad. The one thing is that you can't be an Ori Ramikad for doing your job, if you see my point. You know,
yes.
if you're an Alarad and you're doing your Alarad job, what are you doing above and beyond that point to deserve that Ori Ramikad? That point. So I know we seem to be talking about Ori Ramikad for some strange reason, but the general point is that the more you help the people above you, the more you're going to get noticed, the more people are going to appreciate what you've done, and the more, you know, sometimes I feel that people spend too much time arguing with the rules, or arguing with the facts, or arguing with people up higher, or coveting their own little position of power and stuff like that, to understand that this club is about helping each other and being a family, and being able to, you know, just because that one person's organizing doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're the boss of you. It's more along the lines of they need your help. They really need your help. And if you're going to spend half the time making trouble for them, then you're not really going to get any sort of help for them. You know, you don't bite the hand that potentially feeds you. You don't start making trouble for someone who's too busy to deal with whatever it is you're throwing at them. If you're there to help them, then they're going to remember you a hell of a lot more in the right way than they are if you're going to cause issues. So I'm trying to be as subtle as possible because there's a few things that have been going on in the background, so to speak, and it does need to be addressed, and this is what we're trying to do.
And I mean, we could see, I think it's funny, Crow, you were worried we wouldn't have anything to talk about, but we do get asked, we do get asked from time to time, hey, how do I get Ori Ramakad? And you know, Saz just gave you some great examples there. And I can tell you as an Order of the O member, I read through every single, and I mean this, every single nomination. And we got quite a few that were, I'm nominating my Alarad because he does a good job. And the thing is that's awesome and we appreciate that, but we kind of hope the Alarads do a good job, you know?
What we haven't actually told everybody is that we've actually changed the way that the Ori Ramakad is being done. How it used to be done was that all the Ori Ramakad's volunteers would go straight to the council. The council would decide who they felt were the best nominees from their experience with those people, and you know, to see if they agreed with the things, and that person would get these people would get their Ori Ramakad votes, and so on. Then some of the Ori Ramakad members were saying, you know, well, what's the point of us being Ori Ramakad if we don't have any sort of function within there? So what we've done is we've created an Ori Ramakad forum for members to discuss, and it literally is a hot phone to the council. The people who are, you know, the Ori Ramakad are effectively the people who exemplify the spirit of the Mercs, and therefore they're the people that I personally would rather listen to their opinion first, and because they're the people who understand the way that the club works, and they're the people who understand all the different issues, you know, all the different troubles and tribulations. Because if they hadn't had the troubles and tribulations, they wouldn't have become Ori Ramakad. So what we've done now is that all the applications for Ori Ramakad are actually vetted by the current Ori Ramakad themselves now, which means that they will decide whether they believe a person is suitable or not, because they're a lot closer to the ground. Because the one thing I always find, is that sometimes there's people from Ori Ramakad who I've never had any sort of dealings with, and you know, so how can I vote for that person if I've never really known them? So a lot of people, because the Ori Ramakad is based from people from different areas and different regions and different countries, there's going to be at least somebody who's going to be able to either vouch for that person or to discuss with them. And the nice thing is that I get to read as a council member who gets the final decision, because what happens is that the Ori Ramakad then decide which ones go to the council, and then we make the decision from there. But the thing is what I'm able to do is I'm able to read a discussion from the Ori Ramakad. So it helps me understand who this person is and why they deserve the Ori Ramakad from members whom the club trusts. So it's a win-win as far as I see it. And this is one of the aspects that we're trying to change in the club, is because we don't want the Ori Ramakad, because it's the highest honour that we give to people, and it should reflect on that. They should have a privilege over a standard member, to be fair, you know, because our club is not a democracy. It's a private club. We are we're a taxed club, and we're actually a fraternity, and therefore membership is an exclusivity, not a right. So we reserve the right to give people different benefits from the club, and Ori Ramakad really should be reflecting that sort of benefit. So this is why we've really started to try include the Ori Ramakad in a lot of the decisions that we make, and that's why, as I've said before, is that it is they do have a hot phone to me. You know, if they need to talk to somebody about PR stuff, they can talk directly to me. So it's to be fair, everybody can talk directly to me, but
that's at true. Least he'll talk to everybody.
But that at least if there's a discussion going on and I can get involved in there, and then I can pick up more of a broader brush, so to speak, of opinions from the Ariramacad of people whom are guaranteed to know. You guaranteed know that they have the best intentions of the club in their sights, sort of thing. You know, it's you know, within 4 minutes of me asking them a question, you know, there was three or four solutions or three or four ideas that have come from the Ariramacad, because I know that they're there, that they want to help. And that's the general aspect of it, is that putting yourself on the back burner and putting the club in, you know, putting the club's needs before your own, I suppose that's another way of looking at it.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that you don't usually have when I'm reading through the forum posts in there. And one thing that I found really interesting, and I don't want to give too much away, but there were definitely some people nominated that maybe someone didn't like, and that person would come out and say, you know, I don't necessarily get along with this person, but I've seen them do this, and I think it's really great that they did that. And I think it's not a lot of people will do that. Not a lot of people will not take an opportunity to completely firebomb someone else. And I've been really impressed with the integrity that I see in that section of the forums. Doesn't mean that it's not elsewhere. It's just really nice that we have some members that are kind of serving as those role models for all of our folks.
Yeah, I've seen some. There's been some discussion floating around the forums that I've seen that's just sort of like, well, why are the Ariramacad getting these decisions handed to them first?
Why not?
Why are they so special? Well, A,
good choice.
Why we're special is read on the forums. You can look up our nomination posts. They get posted if we get in. But secondly, it's like, it's not just another like mini council. It's not like just this separate, I mean, we are, I guess, separate elite members, but it's a group of just people. Like, we have naysayers. We have, you know, we have people who have gotten in trouble before. Like, you know, it's the same people that are on the forums all the time anyway. It's just a smaller discussion. So don't worry about us giving like any bad advice or just, you know, like trying to skew the council one way because this little club of people's trying to push their agenda. We don't have one. Like, our agenda is just this club.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I would say that as an Ori Ramadoodle member, my agenda is making sure that this club stays around and really helping to preserve the beautiful elements that I saw when I came in, which was the family atmosphere. And I don't necessarily mean family for your children, but I mean the way in which you guys probably wouldn't believe this, but I'm actually really shy, like painfully shy. And for me to make friends with some dude from Kentucky and some dude from Australia and a guy from England and you know, where are you? Maine? Crow? You know, like, what? Like, from...
You don't even remember.
I don't even know. I don't even know. My brain... well, you moved recently to, I think, a place near a train?
I did, yes.
I think?
It's still in Maine, but yes, I did.
So, see? And you've also changed... I follow. But my point is, for someone who's normally would not necessarily go out of their bubble, to be able to get that connected with other people and to become friends and form bonds where... I mean, I'm probably going to wind up at some point flying to Australia to visit Point. And I would, I've gone to Portland twice for dance. And every time I do, I kind of say, hey, does anybody want to get together and hang out? And the Mercs are like, yeah, you're family. Let's go. And honest to God, every time I go up there, I want to spend more time with the Mercs than dancing, as much as I love dancing. But they're just, it's like family. And that is a very important thing to me to preserve. That's why I get really upset when I see people arguing over stuff. I know I've run multiple different groups before. I know people argue. It's just the nature of things. But at the core of it, there's that connection that we all love the same thing. And we all want this club to be really awesome.
My wife has had to adapt to the Mercs as extended family. It's like, welcome to my world. Here's all the other relatives you didn't know about. They all wear armor.
Yeah, we all want to dress up like action figures together.
That's right.
And
she has accepted this.
This actually moves us over into the big theme of the episode. The thing I mentioned.
Why we have Saz here?
Yeah, why we have Saz and all that. I mean, other than his fantastic accent.
God, that accent.
It's adorable.
We need to make a British accent lovers social society.
No. We did social societies two episodes ago. I don't even remember. But
I could just see Rose like vein throbbing in his temple as Misha said that.
But like I was saying, the whole reason we have Saz here, Mercs Con, formerly known as Mando Con, and then Mercs Con again, and back and forth. It's Mercs Con. We settled on that. Gonna be honest, even where I'm one of the guys who gives people information all the time as part of my job for the club, I don't know much about it. So let's ask Saz. Saz!
Yes.
What is Mando?
Tell us more.
What is Mercs Con?
Tell us more.
Well, tell us.
Mercs Con is basically Mandalorian Mercs conference, not convention. This is great because conference and convention both start with con, so you can see why it gets a bit confusing.
Yes, people have been confused by that.
It is quite strange. It's in this English language that we have. Yes, I remember long ago. Mercs Con is basically an excuse, really. Back when I first became PR officer, I knew that the council of yesteryear were talking, and it was one of Tom's great dreams to be able to do some sort of Mercs Con or something like that, which basically turned into the bash, effectively. He was always still held a candle to the idea of having a Mandalorian Merc specific event. How it really came out was Thaxos and Auric Cantir put a motion into the council to discuss about trying to get all the council members together to have a meeting in person. And to effectively just to have some time together and to have some fun. But I kind of objected to that idea just by saying the fact of that I'm very much an inclusive person. I like to include people in everything that I do. And I felt that it'd be unfair for us to get together and do our own thing without involving everybody else. And so Tom said, well, that sounds like a good idea, Rich. You can organize it. Thanks, Tom. So that's effectively how it started. Yeah, which was general nods. This was during Celebration London, so I think he might have been quite impressed by my organization skills. If I do say so myself. But
Lord. I mean, yeah.
No, but seriously, good job.
By the way, there's a new PRXO job coming out.
So. Oh, man. Please. Freedom? Master will let me free?
No, you cannot have a sock.
I was just about to suggest asking for a sock.
That's great. When are we doing the shindig?
April.
No, MerxCon, not MishaCon.
It's 20.
Oh, MishaCon, sorry.
Please, no.
MerxCon is going to be happening either October or November 2018. It all depends on whether which hotel will be able to get booked up for that time. So it all depends on when they'll be able to fit us in.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be in Orlando.
Okay, and yeah, one of the questions I was asked on the Facebook page was, why Orlando specifically? Like, of all the places in the world to hold a, medium-sized convention.
Of all the gin joints in the bar, you had to turn up into mine.
Exactly.
well, there's a lot of reasons, actually. The first reason is that three of our council members are from Florida, which means that it's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper for everybody to get to where three people are rather than, we could have it in North Carolina and Tom would be perfectly happy, but it's still putting up other members of the council. You know, they've got to find that, they've got to make their way there. And, or you could come to London if you wanted to, but I won't be there because I live in Birmingham. So it's,
well, I'm sure there's a nice I don't know about sure, but I'm reasonably certain there is a half decent hotel in Birmingham.
There's a couple. but the other reason is partners as well. I know for a fact that Lord Ken Niabis and Nala, they adore Disney. The only way that I would even be allowed out of the country into America is if it was at Orlando with my missus as well. So there's that whole, we'd be able to turn it into a bit of a holiday as well. So that was another reason. The other reason is that Orlando is a lot easier to get to for a lot of people, because this is the important point, is that the Mercs is no longer an American club. Whilst it's based in America, it is a worldwide club, and therefore we have to start considering outside of the states. Effectively, there are other countries in there. So people from Australia, people from Britain, people from Europe, they'll all want to come. And the thing is that it's a lot easier for them to take a flight to a well-known holiday destination like Orlando than to go to New Connecticut or Seattle. Seattle's there's nothing wrong with Seattle, but it's a lot harder.
Seattle.
Well, that's your personal opinion, and I can neither confirm nor deny my own personal opinion regarding Seattle, because I've never been there. But I hear it rains a lot, but then again, I'm from Britain where it rains a lot too, so I'd probably be at home. I'd probably be at home there. But it's I understand why people say, why can't it be in a place that makes it easy for me to get to? But at the same point is that what we're trying to do, once again, is try to give something for the majority of people. I know America's a big country, but there's a few more miles from Australia. There's a few more miles from Europe to get to Orlando as well. So we have to try and make it as easy as possible for them to get there. And the other reason is that if you look at the clan sizes, you'll find that BBC is the biggest clan in the Mercs, followed I think closely by Arizona, and actually by the Voxia are pretty much up there as well now in the UK. So you've pretty got the choice of Orlando, Arizona, or somewhere in Britain, and I think people will probably be a bit more a bit more upset by having to take a flight over to the UK, because you know it's easier for people to take flights over to America because it's an easy destination. And the fact is that with the BBC being there as well, there are plenty of members there who will be able to attend and not necessarily have to spend too much money to get there, so to speak. Not as much as I'm going to be spending, but you know, that's the be all and end all of it. We have thought about it, we have discussed it, and we have made it the best possible way to include everybody. And you know, I'm sorry if it's going to cause a few hassles for people who are, you know, on the other side of the country, but you know, everybody needs to understand that we're not just talking about America now, we're talking about you know, different countries. I mean, we've got our Ecuador clan, and they're desperate to come along, and so
well, yeah, for them, Ecuador to Florida, that ain't bad.
it's actually only, I think, about 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, what's cool is where I am, I'm in Florida, but I'm pretty much equidistant between Orlando and North Carolina. So either way, I'm cool. Orlando's fine.
Let's see. So let me just try and get this math out. Because assuming that Lucasfilm and Disney are going to be doing the celebration thing on alternating years like they have been, 2018 will be an international year, perhaps, if they follow the pattern.
We suspect that they'll probably do one of the Asian countries.
Mm. Maybe another Celebration Japan. Maybe.
That'd be cool.
Mm. Maybe.
Maybe.
I'd do that.
One of those things.
We never know.
Hey, it might give us a little bit of a break because we're kind of just going from celebration prep to celebration prep now. I mean, it's just you end one and you start prepping for the next one immediately. They're so huge.
In this case, these two celebrations that we've just had are especially close. They're only, what, 8 months apart? 9 months apart?
Yeah.
Instead of back when we used to have like 5 years between celebrations to sort of get ready.
Yeah, yeah. It's a new thing.
Until the next one.
Not a lot.
Because yeah, it's April, so it is. It's almost October. This will probably be out in October. So yeah, 6 months.
Misha will be down your way to do some work soon enough.
Yeah, I need to.
Sooner than
a bunch of stuff.
Wait, I have to do what now?
I'll be down in Orlando to help with the set sooner than later. It's only 6 months away
I'm
now.
I'm 2 hours away from Orlando, so.
Okay, you can drive over.
Okay. I would definitely come over to see you.
I'll put you to
work.
And
to help, too. I mean, yeah. I want to help.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of painting.
I enjoy painting.
Yeah, so next question, how long is this convention going to be, or sorry, conference? How long is this conference going to be?
The conference should be over 3 days. The council will be in for a week, as well as the setup crew, who we haven't had volunteers for yet. We do have a certain amount of people that we are getting involved for specific reasons. I mean, Dar has known about it for a long, long time, and only simply because he had the same idea and was asking me about it. But him and Ulrich are going to be repeating their X-Wing competition there.
Yep.
So that should be good fun. Tony seems to think that I'll have enough time to play a round or two, but
we'll drag you in. We'll drag you in.
Kicking and screaming. No, I don't want to play.
So
you'll beat me.
So other than X-Wing, like, what are we actually going to be doing at this thing?
Well, the main focus of the event is for people to talk. Is for people to talk face to face. As great as being able to talk through Skype and, you know, video chat and stuff like that, there's still nothing better than being able to meet someone face to face. And this is a lesson I learnt a long time ago, when back at Celebration Europe 2, back when I was about as popular as a ginger-headed stepchild. It was European guys didn't quite understand who I was and what I do, and you know, they described me as grumpy, I think was the word. But once they met me and once we had a chat and once we talked about stuff, the whole of Europe suddenly became this real tight-knit group of friends, and that event changed my life, I think, especially in the Mercs, is that I suddenly realized that the easiest way to break down everybody's barriers or their issues with each other is by being able to, you know, go face to face. And you know, it's just great to be able to make friends or to meet the people that you've had time with, you know, even just to hug it out with some people, you know, that you've had you know, tough times with, or you've discussed a few things, and to be able to, you know, even on the point of there's people who've made friends through social societies, there's people who've made friends through you know, just their jobs within the Mercs, and there's people who've just found that they get on through that whole point, and just an excuse to meet them face to face and to be able to, you know, just to talk and just to do fun things together. I think that it will revolutionize the way it's one of the ways that we can revolutionize the way the club works, by having a lot more people being able to know the voice of the person who's typing, instead of people jumping to conclusions about what this person is or who they are or what they actually mean. Yeah, you know, it's so
different face to face.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, it's easy to be confrontational when you've got a keyboard and a computer screen in front of you. You tend to be a lot more reasonable when you're face to face, because you know, you don't want to, you know, because you actually see the reaction of the person that you're talking to, and therefore you know, you kind of almost know when you're pushing things too far, or you know when you're, you know, the one thing is you know, when I joke all the time. You know, I tend to what we British call extracting the urine, and we, you know, sometimes people can misinterpret me extracting the urine as a direct insult against them, their family, and their, you know, their dog. but it's not the case, you know. Yeah, I only extract the urine when I like people. So, you know, that's the important point. But you know, there's also cultural differences as well. It's also learning the cultural differences and learning different ways about people, and it just to get ourselves out of this horrible political situation we're in at the moment, where everybody wants to kill each other, and God knows, you know, it's getting to the point where we want to put a bit of light in the world and have people do positive things together rather than all the crap that's going out at the moment. And I really do think that once people start meeting people face to face, it's a lot harder for you to dislike someone when you've actually spoken to them face to face. Or, you know, if you do dislike them, at least maybe you'll understand them a bit more, or maybe you'll come to some sort of, you know, mutual understanding of some kind. You know, he's, you know, I'm not basically going to say that everyone's going to be like hippie, you know, hippie skippy, let's go all hold hands and dance down the road together. It's, you know, that's probably way beyond what's going to happen, but at least 90% of the people will have the ability to get on and talk. On the other aspect as well is that we will be able to spend one of the days, we'll be doing conferences, so that we'll get all the Mercs work out of the way, and effectively what we'll be doing is we'll be doing panels. As you already know, KTR will be having a live panel. When we say live, it will be recorded, but it will be basically a panel in front of an audience, so to speak. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. And also, there'll be like a council with the RMK, the council with the clan leaders, and then just a general council question and answer session. I know that Ulrich's quite keen to do a Rusalor panel, stuff like that. So there's, you know, we haven't really keyed out exactly what we're going to do, because obviously each panel is going to be like an hour long sort of thing, and we'd then have to work that through. But it all just depends on what rooms we get and so forth. So the general thing is we get the work done. Well, the council will be in before that to get some of the work done beforehand, and then obviously on the first day of the con, we'll be doing, you know, getting all the stuffy stuff out of the way first, and then the next 2 days will be people having fun. Even though during the convention time, or the period of time, we should have a hall with things to do and things to see and stuff like that. So there'll be stuff for people to do whilst they're waiting for their, you know, their particular panel to turn up as well. So we'll see what we can get there. We're also, like with Misha, we're probably also looking for sponsors, and we'll probably be setting tables there as well. And there's also a rumor of me and Misha having a one-on-one wrestling match as well.
My money's on Misha.
And that's how quiet she is.
Yeah.
Me.
Another good question. I mean, I'm sure we haven't quite figured out the individual cost for someone coming, but are there going to be tickets? Like, how's that end going to work?
The event will be a ticketed event. The only reason is because we have to. Lucasfilm won't let us do an open event, so we have to do a ticketed event. We also have to cover our costs as well, so the ticket will... Hopefully, what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and do advanced sales and then work out how much money we'll have to do with that. And, you know, we'll try to get there. If there's any surplus, I suspect it will go to charity. There's also, there will be discounted tickets for certain areas or certain members, depending on... their needs to be there, so to speak. So we will try to incentivize people who really should be turning up to turn up. So, for instance, we'll try to incentivize, at least along the lines of the RMACAD, to be able to come, and possibly clan leaders as well, to at least so they can represent their clans, clan areas, and, you know, put together. There'll be things like there's also, we're hopefully going to book some rooms at the hotel as well. We won't be able to, the council itself won't be able to take the hotel rooms, because from what I understand is that they'll only put the hotel up during the period of the convention. So we're going to have to find somewhere else to stay.
We'll get you guys an Airbnb and you can all room together.
Well, that'd be fun. So one thing my girlfriend has told me is that there's absolutely no way in hell that she's sharing with anybody else. So that'll be fun. It's going to be a ticketed event. We're going to try raise some money, obviously, from sponsors and from people who will be selling stuff at their tables. I think we've kind of decided that the table is going to be $100 each. So if somebody is looking to put a table out, then that's the price we're kind of looking at doing.
We're still waiting to find out exactly what the hall, you know, what the area and everything will cost. But in Florida, especially for these types of convention type events, or conference, rather. I do quite a bit of them with work, and that's about on par. Actually, usually it's a little more expensive, so we definitely want to make it accessible for folks who would like to come. We really want to see people attend this and want to see there be some different cool exhibits and maybe vendors selling things as well.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that it's going to be like a conference season around that area anyway, so it is going to be slightly more expensive. But what we're hoping to aim to do is, you know, if we can get 500 people there, then I think we should be able to sort it out and see where we go from there. And then if we base it on, you know, 500 people and try to price around that, then, you know, that'd be great. Because don't forget that not only are tickets going to be sold for members, but the members will have to buy tickets for their partners as well. So some people may, you know, and if they're bringing their kids in as well, we'd have to think about kids and a Verdica and Verdica Core.
Yeah, and I'd just like to chime in a little bit on the whole what's going to be going on. Saz did a really great job of covering the basic initial idea behind it. We've gotten a lot of suggestions, and folks asked right away, hey, if I have a suggestion, who do I contact? And you're more than welcome to send me an email, or excuse me, not an email, send me a PM on the forum, and I'm collecting I'm collecting all of the suggestions I get. So no matter how crazy or out there, or maybe you think it might not be doable, but, you know, send it our way. We'll see what we can do. We've had a lot of different suggestions come in, and I've been collecting them and posting them up. But we are trying, even Dar mentioned an X-Wing tournament. We are trying to do some really cool stuff that's not just sitting around listening to people talk. Corey and I have talked about maybe doing an ice cream social one night, maybe having a barbecue by the pool kind of thing, or a pizza party. We definitely want to have a merch swap. So if you have extra coins or patches or even trading cards swap that you want to trade, we can definitely make that happen too. So the opportunity is there to have a bunch of different fun little other activities going on during the event.
Oh, thank you. What we're also going to do, I think one of the fun ideas that's been banded around is doing a speed dating sort of game. Not actually dating, but where people from different countries get put around a table or put into a group of people, and then they get a minute to talk to each other and find out about you as much as possible. So it's very much taking the speed dating idea and just having people talk to each other rather than, you know, trying to ask each other out sort of thing. But it's just interesting ways for people to spend time together and get to know each other.
In the US, we call those icebreakers.
Icebreakers or play dates. That's what we'll call it.
Usually at conferences we do a lot of different icebreaker type things, so we'll definitely have some some cool things like that. And then for folks who get there early, maybe you come in a couple days early, we are looking at building in some field trips as well. So if you've never been to Florida, or if you've only come down here when Celebration has happened and you've pretty much flown down, done Celebration and then headed home, we are trying to set up some different activities that might give you an opportunity to see some other parts of Florida, like going out to Cocoa Beach, which is about an hour to an hour and a half from Orlando, maybe checking out some of the theme parks if you want to do that, even checking out some of the stranger kind of lesser known attractions in the area that are more affordable but still lots of fun, like Gatorland. And then we also have had some requests to do some of the nature-based ecotourism, which is my specialty. So things like kayaking trips and hikes are definitely potentially field trips that we could take as well. There may be a little bit of an additional charge for those because I'm sure we'll have to figure out transportation for everyone. But that will be, you know, stated in advance and is pretty much normal for conferences doing some field trips before the event actually kicks off.
I have a question, Saz.
Shoot.
What about like honorary members? Are we going to look to maybe encourage having honorary members of the Mercs to show up?
We will probably send out some invites, but we won't be paying for VIPs or guests to turn up. What we're doing at the moment is we're concentrating on making it work first. This is the first con that we're having, and we want to spend the time with members getting to know each other, not spending time queuing up trying to get a signature off somebody. This isn't a convention. It's a conference. It's where Mercs are the focus of it. If any of the honorary members, or if anybody from Lucasfilm, or if anybody from any sort of thing wants to turn up, then you know they're more than welcome to. But it's not going to be our focus. Our focus is on the members here, and our focus is on everybody making friends and getting to know each other, and to take away the stress of a convention. You know, a lot of people come for the convention but stay for the friendship that they get. What we're trying to say is that this conference will be about making friends, you know, and meeting people. It's celebrating the Mercs as a whole entity. It's not celebrating Star Wars in its entirety, and it's certainly not celebrating any sort of celebrity. It's about us, I think, is the best way of saying it.
Definitely more a conference than a convention.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
That's not to say that in the future that might happen, but that all depends on how successful this is. I mean, this is the great experiment, effectively. This is the let's see if it works. Let's see how, you know, let's see what happens. And, you know, if it becomes a great success, if it becomes something that we might want to do biannually, or not biannually. Is it biannually? Every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
Yeah. That might be great. You know, we could fit it in between, you know, celebrations and stuff like that. But we don't know at the moment. You know, everything's all up in the air because we don't know how many times Disney are going to want Reed to do celebrations. I suspect that they've realised that it's probably a little bit too much. They put too much on their plate for everything. Especially with Orlando coming straight after London, and London coming straight after Anaheim. You know, I think they've realised they may have put too much on their plate, so to speak. Then again, knowing Mary, she probably relishes that sort of pressure. But you know, it may just be the fact that they might back off a bit and we'll see what we'll do. It might be that this, you know, this great experiment might not work and we may never visit again, you know, or we may come 10 years down the line when, you know, when I'm dead and buried or something. It would be remiss of us to not try and make a go of it. We've got an opportunity, and we need to look at it, and you know, hopefully get as many people there as possible, and try to make a great success out of it.
Well, Saz, the way you're describing it, it's basically the Mercs World Conference, because you know we have the larger events, but they're all, you know, they're local things. Even Dragon Con is, you know, largely a local thing, and mm-hmm. you know, even Celebration Orlando, you know, we have people all over the world, but yeah, largely the locals. But this, the Mercs World Conference, to kind of humanize things, because this is something we've seen in applications for years. You can argue for weeks on the forums, but then you get together face to face with someone for, you know, a minute and a half, and all your issues are resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm completely on board with this.
Well, hopefully, I'm hoping that everybody's going to get on board and get excited about this, the potential that we have of really making 5,000 people, or but you know, potential of 5,000 members to come on. I know that not everybody's going to be able to turn up. I know that not everybody's got the money to do so. I know that not everybody is going to want to do it. I know that some people, you know, would rather, you know, rather not visit Orlando. I've heard that Florida doesn't have a great reputation. I don't know why, but that's what I hear.
Alligators.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, being
toll roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say,
we make it work.
I've gotta say, you know, just listening to you talk about this conference, and as you know, Brian was putting it, you know, the world Mandalorian World Conference. It just amazes me hearing this kind of conversation as opposed to how this club was 6 years ago, 7 years ago when I joined back in 2009. You know, back then, you know, I'm only a member 220. And I think, Brian, you're older than I am, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I'm in the 130s. I've been around since 2008. I'm like the elder of the tribe now, I guess. It's weird.
But just listening to how far this club has come, you know, and how we have set ourselves apart from, like, say, the Rebel Legion and the 501st, you know, is always how do we claw our way out from under their shadow? But we've kind of not even done that. We've just gone completely sideways and designed this club to be entirely different. You know, and now we're getting ready to do a conference that's just us. You know, I don't think the 501st or Legion have ever done anything like that.
They have.
Oh, they have?
They have, yeah.
I wouldn't know because I'm not part of them.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're up to. I don't know.
But to be fair, they haven't done it recently. It was quite early in their history, so you know, maybe it's our turn now. But
they're a lot bigger too, well, so I don't know if that's as easy.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what anybody else does. I'm not concerned with what other clubs do. What I'm concerned about is bringing this club closer together and bringing people who spend a lot of time together, a lot of time working together, a lot of time discussing issues together, a lot of time, you know, just hanging out with each other, but never actually having the chance to hang out with each other, to be able to do that. And I think the important thing is that I want to meet people. I really want to meet, you know, people face to face. You know, I met Tom in Celebration London, and it was almost as though we hadn't even, you know, that wasn't the first time we'd met. You know,
were you brothers from another mother?
I think we might have been. Yeah, that is a problem. But
it's that extended family thing again, man. It's part of it.
Yeah. And I think it's really, I mean, it's funny. I've seen some people super excited about the idea of a conference, and other people kind of saying, "I'll go next year." And listen to the old lady, kids. If there's one thing life has taught me, you don't know how often that next time is going to come around. So if you can make it, I mean, really, if you can make it, go. Because if this doesn't have a lot of support, we won't do it again. I can tell you, Saz, this is really his baby, and he's somehow managed to strap me along for the ride. And totally unwillingly.
I can feel the chains dragging me forward.
Yeah, so totally, totally unwillingly. But the thing is, you know, there's a lot of love and a lot of hard work that's already been put into this. And people aren't getting paid to do it. It's just like any event that we would troop or any, excuse me, conference or convention that we would go to, except even more so. And so, you know, people have to show up in order for us to be a viable event for the club to do it again. So just keep that in mind
a giant worldwide armor party. The biggest armor party we can have.
Absolutely, and that's something that we definitely want to try to make happen there too, is some demos of how to build stuff as well, so things like that.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff for that. I mean, the one important point that I also need to make is that armor is not mandatory. If you have issue, you know, because obviously there's people coming over from different areas, and they might not be able to afford to bring their kit over. It is not there for us to, you know, kit up and do so. There'll be opportunities for people to do that. You know, I'm pretty sure that there'll be, you know, people will be able to take people out into the Florida things, not get eaten by alligators, and have photographs taken in
the... I make no promises.
Yeah.
I happen to know that I have to take at least one member out and specifically find him an alligator for him to wrestle it.
Dar, are you going to wrestle an alligator?
It's not Dar.
I am way too
proud of that. Saz, are you going to wrestle an alligator?
I hope not.
which, let's be clear, alligator wrestling is considered a third-degree felony in the state of Florida. It is considered alligator molestation, so no, you can't really do that.
They're also alligators.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have alligators.
They do eat people on occasion.
Very, very rarely.
They don't appreciate it.
No, they don't.
It's pretty rare.
I guess one last question that I had for it. I mean, we mentioned that this is, you know, a Mercs event and all that sort of thing. Is this basically open for anyone who wants a ticket? Like, open for all tiers of membership on the forums, basically?
Effectively, you have to be a member of the forums to be able to buy a ticket. The only concession that we've got is that members will be able to buy tickets for their partners, but it has to be a specific partner ticket, mm-hmm. or, you know, a specific ticket for them, and we'll only be able to do one per person sort of thing. So effectively it allows people to bring their partners with them. We're not going to be around to allow, you know, full families and stuff like that there, but if you're a member of any tier. So simply the fact is if somebody really wants to come to the event, all they have to do is log on to the forums, become a tier null member, and they have a right to buy a ticket.
Cool.
More the merrier.
Yeah, more the merrier. I mean, the fact is the more people that we have coming there, the more successful it's going to be, and the more chance that these, you know, we'll be doing more of these sort of conventions again. And I mean, the other thing is that if a certain person gets the card game illustrations sorted, we'll also be doing card game demonstrations as well. And the other thing as well is that we have to be quite careful about selling merchandise as well. I haven't really had a chat with Corey about it yet, but we're not too sure if we're going to... I mean, initially, I've been thinking that perhaps it's going to be a question of people ordering their stuff and picking it up at the convention. But I'm thinking, seeing as it is a ticketed event, then we would be able to have to, and because we'd be doing a different because we're doing a different ticket for non-members or partners and stuff like that, we can easily differentiate between the two, so to speak, by hopefully by the pass that they have. So we'd be able to we'd be able to perhaps, or you know, because the other thing is because Corey's in Florida as well, it won't be too much of a stretch for her to take stuff out of her garage and take it with her to the event and have them sold there. So that's I suppose that's a bonus. That's probably another reason why Florida would be a good choice, or Orlando's a good choice. So I'm going to have to speak to her and see and Tom perhaps and see where we stand on that with the LFL thing, because the last thing we want to do is get on the wrong side of Disney. So we want to make sure that we do things by the book, and so we'll get back to you on that one. But for the moment, we're keeping it, or at the moment it's audio merchandise and pick it up. We'll see about buying merchandise at the place later. Corey's working on the hotel at the moment, and we've had some positive things at the moment. We've had some positive discussions, and I think it's generally along the lines of that it's probably going to, they've asked us, they've given us some dates that they can do, so we'll find out which date's going to be the cheapest most likely, and then we'll put it through, because I believe that we should be able to block book the hotel, so the tickets will be sold by us, but the hotel rooms will be by the hotel. We don't know quite yet if we're going to be able to do like a package deal just yet, but we'll look into it and so forth. But the basic thing is that the basic message is that if you feel that MandoCon is an event that you'd like to be a part of or like to get involved in and meet people, start saving now.
And if you'd like to help, we've had a couple people offer help as well. You can send those offers of help to me.
Well, that is about all that we have for this edition of Cal Dobby Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Saz for coming on with us and giving us all that sweet information about pretty much everything that we asked for.
You saucy little tot, you!
and plenty of things that we didn't ask for, but got the information anyway.
Oh my.
Oh my. Oh, sorry, how have I ruined that?
always a pleasure.
Poor Ian.
I think this is the thing. I think this is, I want to say that next to The Mandalore, we've had Saz on as a guest more than anyone else. This is at least your third time doing it since I've been running things.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
So yet I... It gets crazier every time.
It's only because you know what to expect with me.
I should, but I'm surprised every time. I really should get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, just think what MandoCon's going to be like.
Yeah, no, that'll be worth it. That'll be worth
madness.
I'm very excited.
I want to come.
I do. I'm planning on it as of right now. So with that, on behalf of Saz, Misha,
Daryl, I just can't.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, just bye. Thanks for listening.
Billy D.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Just bye.